first landed on moon. Neil Armstrong became the first person, human beings, to step foot on the moon. In that time period, it was the time of the Cold War. Cold War is a term that we applied when United States and many communist countries like China, Russia, USSR at that time, was at odds with one another. During that time, communist China claimed that man landing on the moon was fake news, and they would not broadcast the news, acknowledge this is one of the greatest human achievements. And if the news leak out in China that, oh, there's this video showing people walking on the moon, they will say, oh, it was just staged in one of the Hollywood studio. Last week, we celebrate Easter. Easter is to celebrate the resurrection of the first human beings, the most important historic events that of that person come back to life. Yet, both in Paul's time and nowadays, there are people who either do not believe it, that Jesus come back to life, or fail to see the significance of it. Today's text, the Apostle Paul was writing a letter, the entire chapter 15, to the Church of Corinth and telling them. At that time, Church of Corinth, when Paul wrote the letter, that was a few years after Jesus resurrected to death, from death. And already in that time, people were doubting. People were openly saying that there's no such things. And even today, people do not recognize the life-altering implication of Easter. For the Apostle Paul, the resurrection was the ultimate truth that brought meaning to everything he did. Purpose of life, the meaning of life, was all orientated around this truth that Jesus is alive. So he wants to tell the Church of Corinth. And I think his message is even relevant to us today, that what does Jesus alive, resurrected, means to us today? In verse 32, Paul said, Christ's resurrection gives meaning to his life. And the next two verses, he tells us, how, in that case, if Christ rose from death, then how should we live today? In other words, why does resurrection matter? And if it did happen, what should we do about it? Verse 32 says, if I fought with wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons. We don't know the exact details of how, whether this is literally or it's just symbolically that Paul fought with beasts, wild beasts. But regardless, fighting with wild beasts is a great sacrifice. It's ready for dying, or it's a great challenge, fighting. So even though Paul said, if I do all these things, but it's just for human reason, with just the human hope, without resurrection, without God's purpose in it. He says, what have I gained? Meaning, what's the meaning and purpose? For Paul, he says, well, if that is the case, it's just doing all these great things, great sacrifice without resurrection, then it would make absolutely no sense at all to be a Christian. If Christ isn't alive, then living for Jesus would be a total waste of time. What have I gained if there's no afterlife and bodily resurrection? If there's our life is just the here and now, then according to Paul, we might as well just eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. We should just, in that case, we just squeeze out whatever happiness we have, we can get in this life before we are dead. Whatever feels good to you, do it, just do it, because you only live once. But to Paul, the deciding key is the resurrection of life, of Jesus. If Jesus wasn't raised, then we have no historical, creditable certainty in bodily afterlife or hope beyond the grave. So we might as well just live for ourselves here. But if Jesus is physically alive, then he is who he claimed he is. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live even though he dies. And Jesus claims also that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody goes to the Father except through me. And Jesus also says, I am coming back to you. So if Jesus did not come back to life, all these promises will mean nothing. But if he comes, he's alive, then that means what he said will come to fruition, will become reality. And therefore, our only logical purpose in this life is to live for him, to live the future in mind. Furthermore, that means there is something that is higher than this life. There's a higher power, spiritual power, that breaks into our lives to transform us. How we ought to live our life today. In the next two verses, Paul said, do not be misled. Bad companies corrupt good characters. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. In summary, Paul said, if Jesus is alive, then in this life, this is how we should live. First, do not be deceived. Second, wake up. And third, stop sinning. The first thing is do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good people, God, good character. This does not mean that we should stay away from the world, stay away from everybody, a non-Christian. But rather, it is to remind us that whom you spend most of the time will have an influence of you. In Paul's time, bad company are the people who do not believe in the resurrection. Or it doesn't matter. Resurrection doesn't matter. Paul is saying they stay away from them because Paul knows that belief affects our behavior. What your beliefs matter, ideas have consequences. Who you hang out with will impact your way of life. That's why we are very so concerned about our young people going to the university. University as a place is very secular. A lot of dominant thoughts is there's no God. So we always encourage our university students, when they are in the campus, don't stop going to church, worshiping, and try your best to become a Christian in a Christian fellowship. The next thing Paul says is to wake up. Paul says, come back to your senses as you ought. To wake up Know who you are. How many of you have watched Lion King? Yeah, I think the majority of you, so I don't have to say too much. Lion King, the character, main character, the young lion, is Simba. Simba was tricked to believe that he caused his father's death in a stampede of other animals. So in discouragement, he ran away, you know, and that fell into the wicked uncle's scheme, you know. The wicked uncle wants to take over the kingdom. His father rescued Simba and died, sacrificed his life. And then Simba thought that, I'm responsible. And then he just ran away from this past, painful past, and then just live a carefree life. I don't care. Hakuna Matata, which means no worries. You know, that's the life that he lived while he was in his young adulthood. Until the moment that one night his father, Mufasa, revealed to him in a vision, Simba, you have forgotten about me. Simba said, Father, how could I? You are my most dearest father. My dear father, how can I forget you? You forgot who you are. You don't forget by forgetting who you are. You forgot about me. At this moment, Simba realized, you know, that who he is. He is the king of his powerful father. He is the heir. And then his kingdom, his father's kingdom, was in ruin under the wicked uncle. So at that time, he just wake up and then he run back to reclaim the kingdom. In the same sense, Christians, Paul is saying, wake up. Remember who you are. Remember what your father have done, your heavenly father have sacrificed his life. Remember, you are who you are. You are children of God. God saved you for a precious reason so that you can live for him. With Jesus, you don't have to run from your past. You can run to him with your past. He will not only pardon you, but he will empower you. A new power will come into your life for change and transformation. And that is why he gave the last commandment. He says, stop sinning. Paul is not saying that we live a sinless perfection life, but Paul is reminding Christians that you have a special power in your life because you have the life of resurrected Jesus. That this power will help you to overcome sin. Earlier, we talked about waking up. Last Sunday, when we worshiped Easter Sunday, over 3/4 of the world people don't care. Nobody show up, 3/4 of the world population. The alarm clock of the resurrection gone off today. But some people would just press the snooze button. They are going to live like Jesus is not alive. They would continue to live for themselves instead of for the Lord and for his kingdom. So God is telling us to wake up because what he has done is for us to prepare us for his glorious return, to reclaim this world, to be ready for new heaven and earth. And don't ever think that what you do in this life have no effect to the eternity. Because at the end of the chapter, what Paul is saying, therefore, after all the talking about preparing, expecting, and resurrection, he says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The work Pastor and Mrs. Kwok did in Myanmar, maybe a tiny village that you never appears on the world map, but it will not be in vain. The care you show to your classmate, your friends, the time you invest in helping him or her will not be in vain. The visit you go to help a senior, maybe in the dementia lady, she might not even be able to thank you or even recognize your name, but it will not be in vain. And this is because of our resurrected Lord. Live to life, today, as if to remind us our Lord reigns, our Lord is living. Let us pray. We praise and worship you, Lord Jesus. You are the only person who rose from death, and you are risen and you reign. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you, and you have commissioned us for a great task. So let us remember who we are and not waste our life as if we are living just for ourselves. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.